Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
My name is Jim Nelly, and I have the pleasure of introducing to some and presenting to others the whole Monday Night Football group. This is a group that was established, a group of friends, some 42 years ago, with the advent of the Monday Night Football on ABC. This group has ribbed each other. They have helped each other. They have come to each other's aid and need. But mostly it represents not about football. It's just about a group of guys with a real, real important friendship. And so our second person up today is Paul, we call him Paul the Apostle Booker. And we'll explain why he's called the Apostle a little bit later in. But right now, hello, Paul Booker.
Hello.
Paul, tell us where you're from.
I'm from Yonkers, New York. Not really. I'm from Hayti, Missouri.
And where in the, Boot Hill. In the world is Hayti?
Well, it's in southeast Missouri.
Okay. Are we talking about a big city or are we talking about a hamlet?
Well, it's a small town.
Okay.
Actually, I'm from Hayti Heights. It's an all-black town.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's and an all-black town. And where is that? Is
it? It's still in Boot Hill. Okay. Yeah.
And when people say you're from the Boot Hill, like what is that a good thing or is that?
It's good, really, because all people from my neck of the woods are good people.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So, Paul, you pick cotton. Tell me about that.
Well, I did pick cotton, chop cotton, did the whole thing, yeah. So.
And this was a time way back when?
1839. No. I graduated from high school in 1955, but I did a lot of, I picked a lot of cotton, I really did, until I graduated in May 1955. And 3 days later, I was on a train.
To go?
To the Air Force.
Air Force.
Yes.
And then you went to the Air Force.
Air Force, 4 years.
Yeah. 4 years. Yeah. And then?
Well, then I worked in Michigan, steel plants for a while.
Okay, and then?
Then I decided to, I got laid off. That was the best thing that could have happened to me. I got laid off up there. And I decided to travel home to see my mother on my way to California. I was planning to go to California to become a movie star.
Okay.
But I stopped in Hayti, and I met my wife in Hayti. As a matter of fact, Kittrell Kyles introduced me to my wife.
That's, who is Kittrell Kyles?
Kittrell is Cedric's daddy.
Okay.
He introduced me to my wife, yes. Because he was still hanging around, Dad. He's from...
That was the guy you introduced me to.
Right. Yeah, Kittrell.
And what year are we talking about now?
Well, we're talking about... I went to college in 62. So actually, 59. I got out of Air Force 59. I worked in the steel mill a couple of years, and then I traveled to my little town, and I met my wife, and we got married in 61.
Okay, and then you came north to...
No, my wife convinced me to go to college. She said, you need to go to college. I said, well, not really. But she convinced me that I should go. So
and you went to...
Lincoln University.
Lincoln University.
Yeah.
Now, who did you meet from the Monday night group, football group at Lincoln University?
Oh, I met Ollie Hubbard.
Yes,
I don't know whether I should. I met Ollie Hubbard.
Okay.
And Walt Livingston was not from Lincoln University. He was from Lane College.
Right.
But he was oftentimes down there. He spent a lot of time down. Jimmy, his brother, was down there a lot, too.
Okay, so, Jimmy Hubbard.
Jimmy Hubbard, yeah.
Okay. So, like, is this, I mean, what about that dream that you were going to be a movie star? Where did that
Just a dream.
Just a dream?
Just a dream.
Okay. Did you participate in any kind of activities in college, which... led you?
No, what happened? I was married, so I had to find a job and go to school.
Okay.
So I had my wife back home. She was back home, you know, working. Then I had a couple of kids along the way, so I didn't have time for that, you know, the other stuff. So.
Okay, Southeast Missouri, Boot Hill.
Boot Hill.
What was that like growing up? in that?
Well, it was not a bad life because we were poor, but everybody was poor. We didn't know we were poor until we, you know, ventured out. But it was okay.
Okay. But racially, I mean, you said you had an all-black, very segregated.
Oh, all-black school.
Okay.
Yeah. But we had the largest black school between Memphis and St. Louis because all the kids were bussed into our school.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had a huge school down there, big school, black kids. Population was huge.
All right, so Southeast Missouri is a region. So what did that include besides Hayti and
Hayti, Sykeston, Charleston, and when everybody, they would ask you in college, where are you from, Southeast Missouri? It's not, they thought it was a town.
Yeah,
it was an area.
Yeah, it's an area.
But you had Sykeston, Portersville, New Madrid, whatever.
Carruthersville. Popular Bluff.
You got north. Yes. But mainly Sykeston, Charleston, Kennett, Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah, places like that.
Got Steele.
Carruthersville,
Steele.
Right.
And all right, so you're headed north now at Lincoln, and now you finished Lincoln. So where did you go from there?
Kansas City.
Okay, and why Kansas City?
Well, because it's the nearest to my home. And my family they were in Hayti, so I said, well, I'll just pick up a trailer and go down there and pick them up. I had 5 offers to teach school, elementary school. My major is elementary ed, a minor in psychology. But my wife, we talked about it. He said, well, we'll go to Kansas City.
Okay. And so where was your first school that you taught here?
Woodland.
Woodland.
Yeah.
Down on 9th and
7-Eleven of Woodland.
Yeah, 7-Eleven Woodland.
I had all my kids were out of the projects.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a Wayne
minor. Not a minor,
yeah.
Yeah,
good. Yeah. So how was that experience before we find out a little more about your family?
Interesting.
Interesting,
yeah. Enjoyed it for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, we had all these. See, back in the day, it was only about the 35, 40 elementary teachers. You only had 2 guys, 3 guys.
Okay.
And what turned me against that was when we would go out to the playground, all the female teachers were sending their kids out there, and we and the guys would take care of all the kids. I'm getting out of here. So I did it for 5 years.
Kind of a little daddy daycare.
Yes. They was, you know, really, they would go to the lounge, and there were 3 guys out there with 300 kids. So I said, well, I'll have to do something about this.
Right. Did you stay in elementary education?
No. I 5 years, I think, and I got a job as a homeschool coordinator.
Okay. And you were very good at that. That's where I began in county.
Homeschool coordinator. Some people call us truant officers. The kids are, they're truant officers. Okay, we're not truant officers. But we did a lot of stuff as a homeschool coordinator.
I remember the day I met you, you were helping a child get some glasses at our place. And you sat there all day until you got what you need.
I got a lot from you guys.
I congratulate you on that.
Right.
Let's talk about your family. Who's in your family right now?
I have 2 grown-ups now. My son will be 50 next week.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
50 years old. He got his master's degree 3 weeks ago, finally.
All right.
Surprised me.
And he got his master's from?
I went to Phoenix.
From Phoenix?
Phoenix, yeah.
Okay, so if your son is 50, then how old are you?
102. No, 75.
75.
I turned 75 November the 5th.
Yeah, you got a little few jokes there, you know what I mean?
Know,
yeah. And I'm not going to talk about you hanging out at the 69.
Please don't. You're right about it all the time. You're right about it.
Okay.
Don't read the call paper. You're right about it. I'm okay with that.
How did you get connected with Monday Night Football?
I think it was Walt Livingston because we worked together at Niles Home for Children.
Okay.
And I think that's how I got, you know, connected with Walt, then Ollie, and that's how I ended up with that.
Now, since Ollie ain't here, now tell me what you think about Ollie.
Ollie's a good person.
Okay.
He's a good neighbor. He checks on me every day.
Okay.
He wants to know things. So whatever you know. He wants to know.
Okay.
So you have to talk to Ollie every day.
Can you say, check on you? What do you mean? Does he?
He's like CNN. He's like CNN. I want to know. You know Ollie.
Yes, but I'm trying to get you to say it.
No, I'm not going. That's my neighbor.
All right, so you now, what year are you talking about getting into Monday Night Football?
Oh, I guess right after you guys, about close to 40 years almost.
Close to 40 years. And what did you think about this group of just people sitting around watching TV, supposedly?
Yes, having fun.
Okay.
Discussing issues.
Okay. What kind of issues?
Should I say? No. We would talk about anything, you know, just whatever, you know. you want to talk about it. You got a problem, talk about your problem. You know, if you just want to joke around, which I enjoy. I really enjoy being a Monday Nighter myself because it's like a reunion of some kind. Every Monday night it's like a reunion, you see, and you get to meet your friends and you got some problems there, you know. You solve your problem if you got them.
But where else do you see these Monday Nighters, Booker?
Well, I go to church. I'm a church person. See them at church.
We're cracking up because, yeah, okay, besides church, where do you run into these Monday Nighters?
Well, my grandkids, I have a little granddaughter. She's 7 years old. She said, "Grandpa," I said, "Well, what?" "So you going to the boys' club?" I said, "Yes." And they'll drive by there. She'll force her mother to drive by
drive
there.
Drive by where, Victor?
The boys' club.
Okay, and what is
that? And she said, "Grandpa, I saw your truck at the boys' club." So,
for the sake of those, and Booker once said, but each Friday at 5 o'clock, yeah. And sometimes for Booker, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he hangs out at a bar called the 6902,
yeah.
Which is the address of the club,
yes.
And it's also the name of the
yes.
club. And so it's at 6902 Prospect. And I want this to be in your history, Booker.
Sure.
Because I think you have spent more time at the 6902 than any of us.
Perhaps so.
Probably even more so than anybody else in Kansas City.
Perhaps so.
And how many times do you go there a week?
Oh, I don't know, 5-6 times.
So, all right, let's get to the more serious stuff there. Like, what are some of your fondest memories about Monday Night Football? You got these guys around there talking all the time.
I think it was the time we took the trip. When Buck Buchanan was inducted into the Football Hall of Fame.
All right.
That was really a special day.
Canton, Ohio.
Yes.
Okay, what year are we talking about?
Oh, I guess 1990. Yes.
Okay. And so Buck Buchanan is?
He's a good guy. He was a wonderful guy. Down to earth, wonderful person.
Okay, he was a Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs, yeah.
Defensive
Hall of Fame.
Believe, right?
Yeah.
And he made it into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Right. Now, all of us knew Buck personally, right?
Yes,
I mean, because of Sam. And and I think that's one of the things that we miss, because we used to know all of the players,
right,
and
right.
And that kind of went away, the players, and for various reasons. But what do you think about restricting the players from going to places like 6902 and whatever? Now, they used to roam about freely to come to a barbershop and stuff, and we get to know them, and now there's big restrictions. What do you think about that, Booker?
I think it's something that's good in a way, because things have changed. I mean, these guys can't go anywhere, really, and that's bad, because, you know, if they go into a club like the club there, you know, and they recognize them, you get some yodelers outside or in the club want to start something, you know, start trouble, then they have to defend themselves. So I think it's a good idea that they can't. It's sad, but they just can't go places like they used to.
Just the way life is.
Life is that way now, yeah.
What do you think about some of these salaries that they receive? I mean, remember way back when Buck was playing, I think Buck's first year, he might have made, what, $20,000, $50,000.
Perhaps so.
Maybe.
They got $25,000, I think, for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of money
that
back then.
That was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
they, you know, they sign it for $60-80 million. I think Castle is $70 million or something like that.
I think it's okay. I mean, the owners are making a lot of money.
That's
and
right.
The players deserve, you know, to make a lot of money also. So.
Yeah. And for the record, right now, right at this time on November the 10th, 2011, the National Football League and the Player Association are at odds, and I mean the NBA. Is at odds, and part of the season has been canceled for 4 weeks, and most of it is over salaries.
Sure.
And it's kind of funny how sports has moved to a great business when at one time it was great entertainment. But what's your best play you remember from the Chiefs, or who? What's your most memorable?
Otis Taylor.
Otis Taylor.
At one time, I think, I don't know who they were playing, but He made an outstanding play. A guy had his arm wrapped around. You remember that play? I actually remember it.
Yeah.
And he caught the ball with one hand. The other guy had his arm pinned to his side.
Yeah.
That was
an
outstanding
arrowhead?
Play. Was that an arrowhead? I believe it was.
Yeah, we're talking about Otis Taylor, the wide receiver from Prairie View.
Prairie View A&M.
Right, and his name is on that ring of honor.
He right.
stopped playing in 1975.
But he didn't make the Hall of Fame. He's not the Hall of Fame person.
All right, let's pull this together and start saying, you know, like when people mention you in association with Monday Night Football, what kind of things do they say?
Well, about me?
No, but, well.
About Monday Night Football?
Well, first, let's take Monday Night Football, and then we'll take the more difficult question.
I think people, they like us. They think we're pretty special.
And how do they voice that? What do they say?
They say, well, you guys don't know squat about Monday Night Football. But they do like us.
Yeah.
They do like us. But they, you know, it's kind of, they walk up to you, you know. People walk up to me, and they don't even know me and say, man, you guys were wrong on that issue. I said, well, we were wrong sometimes. I mean, give us credit. You know, we're not perfect. So,
is that an honor for you, Booker, when people know who you are?
Not really, but it's okay. It's okay, you know.
There's a man who wanted to be an actor, and now he doesn't want to be. He wants to. What is it that you do that you don't want to be known?
I don't know anything.
Okay, we'll jump past that question.
Yeah.
What do your family and friends think about Monday Night Football? They fix, you always have a good meal and et cetera. So what?
Yeah, well, my wife loves it. When she was able to do stuff, you know, cook all that stuff, she enjoyed it, really.
When you say able, what does that mean?
Well, she can't do a lot of that stuff now because she used to prepare food. I mean, really, really prepare a lot of food for us. And right now she can't do a lot of that, you know, so I had to take it, you know. So you can't do all that, so you have to listen to us talk about what we're doing, you know, so. But back in the day, she loves it.
What about your kids?
They were always there helping. They enjoyed it also.
So you got a son and a daughter.
And a daughter, okay. Right, right.
And their names are Rod and
Rita. Rod and Rita.
And I can't remember a time when we didn't come to your house and they weren't.
They were always there.
Yeah, they were always there. That's one of the things that, you know, even when you talk about Eddie, we're talking, I can remember Damon having a piano
downstairs,
you know what I mean?
Making a lot of
noise.
thought it was noise.
It turns out to be world famous.
That's right. You never know.
You never know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to the last one. How will you keep all of this Monday Night Football stuff alive? What will you do? What will you say? What will you record, and et cetera? And I really had this question in mind for Carl, because Carl is kept up with all the pictures and stuff like that. But what will you do to keep this alive?
Well, I'll just try to stay connected with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as I'm here. And, you know, tell my kids about it. My kids, they talk about it all the time. My daughter particularly, you know, she loves to have you guys over, you know, and just discuss things. She's a talker anyway, you know. My son, he could care less, but my daughter, she's a different person.
That's part of their history.
Yeah.
My kids certainly believe that as well.
Yes.
All right, last question. Who do you think, who do you think really gets the ribbing and whatever at Monday Night Football? Most of the ribbing.
All of us from you. All of us from you. And 90% of it, 95, 99% of it is not true, whatever the stuff. You know, you're the one. But I get most of my stuff from you. It's okay, though. And so you won't ask that question of anybody else. But it's okay, you know. It's good.
I will not, and I wasn't expecting an answer. All right, what final thing will you say about Monday Night Football that you want most remembered?
The final thing is just being around people that you enjoy being around. That's important to me.
Okay.
Yeah, enjoying the company of those people.
Very good. Even better than the 69-02.
Well, you could have a tie. Yeah.
All right. You've been a good friend, Paul.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I've seen you all over town, and I will always remember your appointment from the mayor to inspect all the bars after 6 p.m. every night. So I'm proud to know such a political appointee by the mayor named Paul Booker.
Yes, yes. All right. Mayor's a good friend of mine, so he understands.
Thank you, Paul. All right, that was a good Paul.